Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 203.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the book of Proverbs, and thereof Proverbs chapter 14. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Proverbs chapter 14, and thereof the first 18 verses. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom, and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Thus far.
Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who art in the heavens, and we here upon thy footstool, all things known to thee, thou hast also instituted a church in order that thou mayst bring in thy people from the length and the breadth of this whole world, from the beginning of time until the last day, when the last one is brought in, then this world will have served its purpose, and thou wilt roll the heavens together as a scroll, and thou wilt purify the earth by fire, so that thou wilt make a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, or that thou may remember in a special way these young people who have had a desire that they also may be joined to thy church. Oh, there is one God, one only God. There is then only one truth. Then there can be only one true religion. Oh, that thou hast planted in their heart that desire to join themselves thereto is only of thy own doing. Thou hast given them to be brought up from the time of their birth under that truth. Then their parents and grandparents, their families may be in our midst or some far away in this day, round about them in a physical or with their hearts with them in this hour, with great gladness. Oh, that thou may humble them all together under thy great goodness that thou dost give also in an outward way, that there are still the youth of our congregation whom Satan has not drawn away from that truth, but that have a desire that they may be joined thereto. Oh, that thou may bless it also in the life of each and every one of them. They are young. When thou wilt give it, their life is yet before them. Oh, then they have so much to deal with in this world. And it is a world wherein Satan is the prince, and yet thou rulest over it. And then thou knowest all the trials and the tribulations of thy own people. Oh, that they also may be included among the number of thy true church, that thou wouldest give unto them that a true confession in their heart, that it may be not only in an outward way, but that it may be in this hour in an inward way, and that thou mayest sanctify thy truth in thy house of prayer, thy servant did desire. When he was far away at the foothills of Mount Hermon, he did desire thy house of prayer one day. In thy house is better than a thousand dwelling in the tents of wickedness. Oh, that thou may give it also in the hearts of young and old in the midst of us, that there may be experiences in our midst of the love of thee and the drawing of thy Holy Spirit, even as Rebekah was drawn unto Isaac of old, that thou mayest give in our midst to feel the sweetness of thy holy word, that there may be a drawing to thy footstool, that thou mayest show the great impossibility of all of entering into that kingdom of heaven through our own work and through our own merit. For we are from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. Oh, from this tree can come no good fruit forever, except that thou wilt give new hearts, a heart of flesh, and take away the stony heart out of our flesh, that thou may give it, and that thou may renew it also in the life of thy own people. For thou knowest also where that they are, and what they stand in need of. Life, O Lord, needs to be fed. Then thirst needs to be quenched, and that thou may give it also when there is a cry in the midst of us, when there are those who do travel through a wilderness here below, and who do find it so each and every day. Oh, that thou mayest feed with manna from above, and that thou mayest open the rock to give water in the desert, and that thou mayest magnify thy name in all thy ways, that thou mayest give fountains to be opened in the wilderness, and that thou mayest give relief from the sun under that refuge, that rock of refuge, which they alone can find a comfort and shelter under. O Lord, take care of thy people, and that thou mayest increase their number amongst us as we travel together to meet thee upon this short journey here below. Remember thou all the needy. Wilt thou care for all that receive treatments for serious diseases, widows, widowers, orphans, handicapped, and all those that have crosses that are known to thee, that cannot receive help from man, when our hand is so shortened that it cannot save, then it is not true of thee, O Lord, that man may experience that thou livest, and that thou givest, hearest, and answerest prayer. Wilt thou look upon us then in this hour, give us a good hour together in thy favor, round about thy holy word of truth, and wilt thou open it up a little, that we may receive a little liberty from heaven, from thy Holy Spirit, that there may be food in thine house, and that thy storehouses, which are full, may be opened by the greater Joseph, and that we, as thy servant, may only have to be an instrument to give it out from thee, and not knowing where the hunger and the thirst is. But, Lord, wilt thou show that thou knowest where that they are, and that they may experience it in this hour. Take reasons out of thyself to magnify thy great and thy glorious and thy worthy name amongst us and our children. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. When I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 159. Our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion that was read to you from Proverbs chapter 14 and thereof the 10th verse. Proverbs 14, verse 10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. So far, the words of our text. The stranger excluded. First, who is excluded? And second, from what he is excluded. The stranger excluded. First, who is excluded? And second, from what he is excluded. Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which take place there in these days? A stranger. What is congregation a stranger? Say that is a person who is from another place. It is someone that does not live in that place, and thus he is not acquainted with those things. He does not know the things that have taken place there in those days. A stranger. David says, I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers were. What does that mean? That means that there was a certain strangeness between him and the world. That there were certain things in the world that he was separated from, that he did not know about the world. Do we also have such a separation? You say, but he had to live in the world. That is right. And so we need to know about our work and school and so on in this world. That is right. But the world that is governed under the highest governing of the Lord by the devil. He is the prince of this world. And so if we have much affinity with this world, then we do not know the place of David. And all those, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were sojourners, strangers, and sojourners in this world. Stranger, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem? That is different. To be a stranger in Jerusalem, that is, that we do not know the things that take place there in that holy city. Thus, to be a stranger of the things that take place with whom? Well, with God's own people. That is what the Emmaus travelers thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he was just a stranger in Jerusalem. They could have no communion with him. Therefore, they had just rather been by themselves. That they could walk all alone, and that they could pour out their hearts just to one another. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. There is a consciousness in the heart of man that cannot be entered into by any other man. There is only one other that knows what is in our heart perfectly beside ourselves, and that is God. No man can enter there. It belongs to an individual. It is very, very personal. Maybe you have tried to share that one time. What lives in the deepest, inmost recesses of your heart? Maybe even with your own wife or with your own husband. And what have you found? And you have found that language is very poor. And that you can never rightly express so that another person can rightly know and feel everything that is living within your heart. Elkanah, he could not understand fully what was in the heart of his wife. Hannah was actually so alone. Elkanah was in that sense a stranger unto his own wife. David says, I am like a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Everyone is a stranger to me. I have no one that I am able to share the burdens, the cares that live within my heart. And then what did David do? Then David went on his knees. Then David said, O Lord, hide not thou thy face from me. Oh, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Oh, that inmost recess of the heart, that personal life that is only known unto the Lord. And when all men in that sense fail us, or do we ever feel that there is a God in heaven? And do we ever receive then a secret place? A place on our knees, a place in our inner chamber? We have to stand in the judgment. Every one of us who will be there with us. Our wife cannot go. Our husband, children, your father and your mother cannot go with you. When you stand in the judgment, then something is going to transpire between you and the Lord. That is all. No one else. Do you ever feel that? Also in the days of your youth, that you have to die, and that you have a soul, and that you have to give an answer for your whole life. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. And a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. When I think of some of you, it is very difficult for me to intermeddle with the joys of a farmer, with the joys of taking care of cows and sheep, goats. That is something that I am a stranger to. That would be for me nothing but a burden. Joy in it, I would not be able to find. Not for one moment. But two farmers, they can sit and talk to each other for hours. and they can share with one another the bitternesses and the joys that they do experience every day in all the labors of their hands. Thus we say they have communion. That is about our things. And yet it is a communion that they may share with one another. Job says, miserable comforters are ye all. Why is that? Well, because of his circumstances. Then it seemed that his friends there, they could not understand him. They did accuse him of things that were not true. Because of all those outward circumstances. And then that inner experience of the heart. And the sorrows of his heart. They were not able to comprehend. Miserable comforters are ye all. Do you experience that? There are widows and there are widowers, and they experience that. Friends, they desire to do them so much good, but they do not understand. It is goodwill, but there is no ability to commune. And then they can feel so alone. Is there no one? Oh, there are some. There are indeed some. There are some that are not strangers of their case. Who are they? Oh, they may be amongst their own family. They suffer along with them. They share their sorrows. But they may also be from another family, another widow, another widower. And they are able with this person to commune, to intermeddle with their bitternesses, to intermeddle with their comforts. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The Apostle Paul says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, he says, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. What does he speak about? He speaks about the things which God freely gives unto his own people. He says, no man knoweth these things. No man intermeddleth with these things, except that a man is given that Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit which is from God. He may intermeddle in these things. Otherwise, those things of God, they are strangers to those things. They're unfamiliar with them. Even if they know the Bible and all the doctrine and all the confession questions and catechism questions, even if they become members, confessing members of the visible church of God, still that a man without that spirit that is from God, he cannot know those things, oh, do you ever feel to be a stranger? A stranger of those things that God freely gives unto His people? Do you ever ask, boys and girls, for the Spirit of God, that you may know the things that are given of God unto His own people? Or do you ever hear of things in the church by which you are excluded? Say those things. They are revealed unto the babes. And those things I stand on the outside of. Or do you ever hear of these things with a heart that longs to know of those things, that you also may be a partaker, that you also may be included? What things? From what the stranger is excluded, that is our second thought. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. Thus he speaks about bitterness and joy. And he says that these things are known in the heart. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Thus these things are experienced in the heart, both of them. The bitternesses, he says, and the joys. You say, which one first? Where does it begin? Does it begin with bitterness or does it begin with joy? What do you think, boys and girls? I don't know the answer to that question. Actually, I think we cannot say whether it begins with bitternesses or joys. Actually, those things happen at the same time. They cannot be separated from each other. Say, that is strange. How can bitterness and joy be experienced at the same time? Oh, that is one of those things. That is one of those things which cannot be intermeddled with by the stranger. It is something that needs to be recognized. The feelings, the bitternesses, and the joys, they are the feelings that do accompany that new birth. Bitterness and joy. What do our fathers say about the new birth? We have read that together. That regeneration. It says, they say that it is most delightful, astonishing, mysterious, ineffable. It means something that we cannot describe in words. Can I bring it out? It is so personal, so most delightful. And yet it is the very day wherein sorrow is born. A godly sorrow. Thus there is a mixture by that true faith. Who can describe the sweetness of the bitter tears of repentance? That is something the world does not know. True repentance, that is bitter. Oh, they are hot tears. And yet it is so sweet that a man would say he would not exchange those tears for the whole world. That is something that on the outside of that Spirit of the Lord, that a man cannot intermeddle with, a stranger, is excluded from this. At the rebuilding of the temple, there was a strange mixture of singing and weeping. All the world cannot understand it. It is so also in a birthing room. And that child is born crying. And then there is in that room others who are so glad, then they are rejoicing. Oh, that is now also with that new life. With that new life in the heart of his church. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and the stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. David says, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Can you intermeddle with that? A little bit? It is my meditation all the day. A joy. To meditate among the precious jewels that the Lord has given unto his church. Or would you rather, young people, read fiction, novels? Maybe you like rather to watch the YouTube or the Netflix. Or then are you on the outside? Then do you feel something that you cannot intermeddle? You cannot intermeddle with the joys of God's true people. Oh, that word of God that makes that people sometimes tremble. Bunyan tried to show that with his pilgrim. Trembling at the law. And yet he continues to read. Why does he continue to read? Or is that strange to you that he continues to read? And Mr. Worldly Wiseman, he disdains that book. He says that book that has done so much damage to people who are weak in their minds continues to read that book. Bitterness. The heart knoweth on account of what? The law. The curse, the punishment of the law. Stranger does not intermeddle with that. Why not? Because he has no faith. Faith believes. It believes in God. It believes there is a judgment. It believes he has to die. Therefore, he trembles. Bitterness. Why? Because of love. Love? Because of love unto God. Against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You know what that is? It's a broken heart. Can you intermeddle with that? A broken heart and a contrite spirit. A stranger does not intermeddle with that. That good doing God and what it means to turn my back to him and to go after vanity and carnality in this world and to leave him just in his place as he gives to me every good. And as he proffers to me daily peace and pardon, no, a stranger cannot intermeddle with those hot tears. Why does such a man not turn away from that book? Why does such a man not throw such a book away? because there is something in there that draws him. He sees a certain treasure in it, in his bitter wretchedness, in his bitter misery. Does not understand that book, but that Ethiopian eunuch, he's reading it. When? On the way home from church. On the way home from church. Oh, he did not get in church what he wanted, what his soul needed. He was not able to intermeddle. It was not sufficient for him to be in church. Oh, he desired to intermeddle with those things that God gives unto his people. The Spirit of the Lord drawing him, that he may know those things also for himself. And then he perceives that it is to be found in that book. And thus he is intermeddling, at least in an outward way. He takes it in his hand. He is reading it. There is a prayer, we may be certain in his heart, that the Lord has heard, that the Lord has answered. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. And a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. When Christ came into the world, then Simeon took him up in his arms, and he blessed God. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according unto thy word. Did you ever intermeddle with that joy? That is the joy of Christmas. The world celebrates Christmas. Does that look nice, children, when the world celebrates Christmas? Maybe you say, I want to be part of that. But it is so empty, because they do never intermeddle with that joy of Simeon, solemn thought. So very, very close. Dealing with the things of God. Sometimes you see that. A little manger. A little child in the manger. In the front of a home. Oh, so very, very close. And yet, excluded. Mary intermeddled. Oh, she kept those things. She pondered them in her heart. And she intermeddled with the things of God. Shepherds, the wise men, the true church, is not a stranger of those joys. The true church, in the midst of the bitterness of their heart, has a secret life. There's a life the world does not know of. Like Luther, despairing of all his confessions every day again. And it does not help. And then the Lord comes. By grace, ye are saved through faith. Oh, then Christ is born in his heart. Then he sees, he intermeddles with free and sovereign grace. When the Lord is opening his word, who can describe that joy, the joy that that people in that moment may intermeddle with. Paul says, we rejoice in hope. In hope. Did you ever intermeddle with hope? You say, what is hope? That is just for the future. I don't have it yet then. How can that then give such joy? Oh, that is part of the mystery. Have we never intermeddled with this? Paul says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. They are not received of yet. And there is a people who are intermeddling with the joys that hope is giving in their heart. Is it tried? Oh, sure it is tried. We can read that of the disciples. They knew a great bitterness. So does the church. Because it did not go forward in the life of the disciples, but it went backwards. It did not go, Christ going onto the throne in Jerusalem, but Christ going into the grave. We thought it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And we were so wrong. Oh, they pour out their complaint before the Lord. They pour out the bitterness of their hearts, the disappointment of their heart. They pour that out before the Lord. They don't not even realize it. How the Lord is hearing them. Oh, there are so many in the world and in the church. It makes no difference if Christ is dead or alive. Is dead or alive. Why not? If congregation, we have never thought about the judgment, if we have never seriously considered that we have to give an account unto God, if we have never seen that we are condemned, what difference does it make to us that Christ is risen from the dead? What difference? None. If He has never been to us precious, if He has never been to us our hope, if we have never seen Him revealed by the Spirit, if we have never hoped in Him, what difference does it make to us if He is dead or alive? If we have never intermeddled in those bitternesses, we will never intermeddle in those joys. But Paul, he says, if Christ be not risen, then your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. What does that mean to that true church? That Christ is risen from the dead. It means everything. Because if He is not risen, then their hope is vain. Then they are condemned. David, he says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Did you ever intermeddle in that bitterness? That your ways are not directed to keep the statutes of the Lord? Ever intermeddle in those tears? That I walk with God's law there closed? That it is not a burden to me? How that I go on? How that I go forward in this life? How I act in this life? What my sin is in thought, in word, and in deed? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. That was the burden. He walked over the world with this burden. Did we ever intermeddle with that bitterness? That is a desire not just to be delivered from guilt, but also to be delivered from sin itself. Also the corruption, the pollution, the committing of sin. A burden that we cannot be upright. A burden that sin and Satan and the world has such a large place in my heart. That my heart is so vain. That my treasure is so little in heaven. The church is a remnant. Very few are the people that intermeddle with this bitterness. Like Paul, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The greatest part of the professors in this world have never intermeddled with this bitterness. And if we have never intermeddled with that bitterness, we can never intermeddle with His joy. I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin, the comfort of the apostle. Oh, then faith. Faith is receiving Him. It receives Him for justification, and it receives Him for sanctification. Then it receives Him for everything. And then they have everything. Then the salvation of that people is complete. Then there is nothing that needs to be added anymore in the life of that church or congregation. Are we now strangers? Are we now complete strangers of these things? Strangers in Jerusalem? Strangers to all that happens in the life of God's people? Strangers to their language, the language of Canaan? Strangers to their bitternesses? Strangers to their joys? Did we never intermeddle? Even with the least, even with the very beginning, even with the love, even with the desire that belongs to that true church of God. Those travelers, they said, did not our heart burn within us? Not hearts. Our heart. One heart. Why, there is one God. We've spoken about that. There is one God. There is one true religion. There is one truth. And what does not belong to that truth, that is error. And now their heart together burned. That is not just the heart of those two men. No, it speaks about the heart of God's church. Because if there is one God, there is also one church. One church, true church, cannot be more than one. And it is the heart of that church that is burning when? When it says, He opened to us the Scriptures. Your heart ever burn? When the Scriptures are opened by the Lord? When the Lord is going through in the preaching of the Word, and when your heart may hear and may commune and may intermeddle with the things of God's true church, His people from the beginning of the world, the Old Testament, the New Testament, then your heart is burning. Burning sometimes with their bitternesses. Burning sometimes. Intermeddling with their joys. With His suffering. with his death, with his resurrection. Why? Oh, that heart cannot burn. If a man is a stranger, oh, that burning, that is a sign we have emotions, that is right. Then we have to be careful with our emotions, but the Spirit of the Lord, he gives his people to commune. And then the Lord says, you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Oh, you intermeddle with those bitternesses, and you will intermeddle also with those joys. And your joy, he says, no man taketh from you. Oh, the Lord give us to seek. The Lord give us to find. The Lord give us to intermeddle. To intermeddle with those bitternesses, that we may intermeddle with those joys. Also in the resurrection from the dead, by a true hope in the life of his people. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 421, stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. In what follows, 3 and 4 of 421.
Thank you.
ask those who wish to make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second, do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? Fourth, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline, in the event which God forbid that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Daniela Chiara Busicum? Cornelis Leendert Janssen, Janae Francis Van Herk, Calvin Mark Niels, Michaela Emily Niels, Chad Bernard Outsorn, Martin Van de Wege, Stephanie Maria Arnoldusen. Young people, it is with gladness that we and your parents and your families and friends here today may hear you make this confession. When does a person become a member of the church? We have spoken about that he becomes a member in baptism. And it is a very heartening thing that after being brought up in this doctrine, that you have a desire to also make confession of that doctrine yourself. But we may ask, why? Why do people do this? Make confession of faith? Well, then there are some that do it out of custom. Some will do it because their friends do it. Maybe because their parents would like them to do it. Maybe because they are getting married or married because they want to baptize children. It can even be because we have read the Confession of Faith and realized that it is our duty to make confession of faith and to join the true Church of God. For many reasons, therefore, men join the visible Church of God. And then there is a certain communion. We have a certain communion. We are not strangers of one another. What is that communion around? That is around historical faith. We all believe the same thing. How is it then, in the life of a person, in the visible church, there are some that feel that is enough. Now my conscience is quieted, and I am a member of the church, and so I can now live my life. I am faithful, I come to church, I read the Bible, I pray, and I teach my children. And they see nothing more to be gained by that confession. There are others that make too much of it, that make of it more than it is. So that when they come to stand at that judgment seat, they find out from the mouth of the Lord that they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. They are not all God's children who have joined that outward church. Thus, the question is, why? Why did you desire to make that confession of faith? Because we read in the Bible that it is through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. Why would anyone desire to join himself unto that people? Maybe you have heard sometimes of that eternal joy. Did you ever sit in your bench and listen and heard explained what that shall be for God's true church one day? And maybe with a certain jealousy, you have said, I do not want to be on the outside of that. I am at this point excluded. But I would like them to be included. That is a good desire, but it's not enough. You can read about Balaam. He desired to die the death of the righteous, and that his last end would be like his. But that is not sufficient. Question. Does your heart know anything of its own bitterness? Did you ever sit in that church with the jealousy of the tears of God's people? Do you ever look at them and say, I wish that my heart would break too. I wish I could have one true tear. Oh, that broken heart and a contrite spirit. Did you ever say, I cannot intermeddle in their sorrow? But were you ever jealous of that sorrow? Of that bitterness, of that repentance, that you say, I would also like to be included? Did you ever feel that you have been excluded and desire that it may become different in your life to say, Lord, I am a natural man, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God? For they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Lord, wilt thou make to me a spiritual man? Did you ever sit with desire? Desire when you have felt something of the separation between God and your soul. Did you ever hear? Did you ever feel what you missed? Ruth felt that. Her gods, they were no gods. The God of Israel, he is the God. And I will join myself then unto that people. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. And a stranger doth not intermeddle in his joys. That remains true. It is the word of God. It will be forever true. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word, the Lord says, shall never pass away. You become a member today. No, I say that wrong. You become a confessing member today. And we hope, young people, that this will never be sufficient for you. that you may never have rest by becoming a confessing member of the church with its duties, its responsibilities, and with its privileges, but that you may have no rest in your heart until you also have intermeddled with the bitternesses and with the joys of God's people. Remember something. We excluded ourselves. There are people, they say, we exclude ourselves when we do not believe. Then we exclude ourselves. As if we now can just take it. Remember something. We did exclude ourselves. We were included in paradise. There we excluded ourselves. And now we need to experience that we are excluded. That is our own fault. And remember that the Lord includes his own people. May you be given to seek for that. May you be given to find that. And may you never rest until you have intermeddled with the things that God reveals unto his people. The Lord remember. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing in the midst of us. Congregation, we'd like to ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 415, the seventh stanza. 415, stanza 7. Yea, the secret of Jehovah is with those who fear his name, with his friends in tender mercy. He his covenant will maintain. Stanza 7 of 415, standing. Heavens, it was before thee and before thy church and that solemn yes has now been pronounced from the mouths of these young friends. Thou sayest in thy word, better not to vow than to vow and not pay. And now it lieth upon each and every one of them. Wilt thou give them to feel it? And wilt thou give them faithfulness? Wilt thou give them thy spirit, the ability to perform the things which they have vowed? Oh, that thou may give them to be a blessing in the midst of our flock, as confessing members to one another, and that we may be part of those, and that may warn one another upon our journey to meet thee, that they may be an example to the rest of the congregation, and we an example unto them of those that are strangers and pilgrims in this world, that we also may be for them a blessing, and that in thy house they may receive not only new life, but that which nourishes and makes it to grow, that there may be fruit also in their life. Oh, remember their parents when they may be so glad in this day. And wilt thou bring us also to that day that we have all made this confession, and that we may look over our life to see how guilty that we are, and that we might need thee and thy dear and only begotten Son, that we may be washed and cleansed from all our guilt and filth and corruption. And wilt thou bring us safely to our homes? Spare us in the week to come. Remember those who hope to be united in the bond of holy matrimony, and that thou may supply in that day also for them and for us to bring a little portion of thy word in those circumstances, and that thou may remember all those that are married and where there are difficulties also in marriages. And wilt thou keep us from a sudden and an unprepared death? And wilt thou remember all those that do search for those two fathers? O Lord, thou knowest everything, but the time becomes very, very long. And could it please thee yet to arise and to gladden us by thy deeds? And wilt thou remember all that anxiously wait for news? And wilt thou forgive and take away all that was amiss also in this hour? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 30 is our closing psalter, number 2 and 3. The lot to me that fell is beautiful and fair. The heritage in which I dwell is good beyond compare. 2 and 3 of Psalter 30. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed be.